Strong jobs data. Well, it may falter, according to our next guest. Danielle DiMartino Booth is the founder of Money Strong and a Bloomberg Prophet, and she joins us here in our 1130 studio. Danielle, always a pleasure. Thanks for being here. What do you mean by this strong demand in jobs may actually falter? You don't think that the hiring spree is going to continue?
I think that the hiring spree for skilled workers is certainly going to continue. But by the same token, I don't think that people are paying near enough attention to some of the distress signals emanating from the restaurant industry right now. Restaurants followed brick and mortar retail into the abyss of overexpansion, and now they're starting to shrink that footprint. If you look at the current economic recovery, as long as it has been going on, the main hiring sector has been in these restaurants, restaurant, leisure, entertainment. They've all overexpanded.
Danielle, you've been phenomenal over the decades of predicting the early signs of a problem, certainly leading up to the housing boom and bust that we saw lead to the 2008 failure of Lehman Brothers. And I'm just wondering, right now we see a dramatic consensus around global synchronized growth, a healthy consumer, everything is hunky-dory. And yet consumer debt levels are rising, if you strip out mortgages, rising to record levels. Mm-hmm. Does this concern you? Is this a warning sign? Are you seeing rising delinquencies that are also a warning sign?
I absolutely am. Consider something. We have seen 23 back-to-back months of inflation-adjusted credit card spending growth outpace that of incomes. And the gap between the two is widening. Credit card delinquencies are going up. Major banks are setting aside loss provisions at a faster clip. Citigroup actually expressed surprise at how quickly they're having to build up their loss provisions. And we're seeing a continuation, a very quiet continuation of subprime auto delinquencies and the beginnings of FHA mortgage delinquencies tick up from 09 and 10.
So FHA is the one agency that allows borrowers, home buyers, to put down much less for their down payment.
It's the only 3% game in town. And it was really the only open mortgage entity in the immediate years following the housing crisis where people could go and put very little down to buy a home.
Do you feel like policymakers sufficiently recognize the increase in fixed costs that a lot of consumers are facing? I mean, I was looking at a Moody's report on consumer asset-backed securitizations that they put out yesterday. As the share of renters paying more than 50% of their incomes toward rent climbed to almost 26% in 2015 from 24.1% in 2007, home ownership slumped toward a 50-year low. Meanwhile, health insurance costs jumped 32% faster than a 12% increase in workers' wages in 5 years.
These are astounding statistics. We just had the CPI report come out that policymakers perceive as being benign. How could they see it any other way if rent inside the CPI are only 8% of the index? And yet, they are at least a third, if not 50% of a given household's balance sheet. They're running upwards of 4%. If you think back to the peak of the housing boom, that was what home price appreciation was doing at the time. But right now, home ownership and renting are more prohibitively expensive than they've ever been. And no, I don't think this is on the Federal Reserve's radar screen.
I just want to go through some items that people may actually purchase, such as gasoline, right? Gasoline prices, they are up. We're seeing about $2.50 a gallon for a national average. That compares to $2.21 same time last year. So that's an increase. We've also been speaking, as you have, about the delinquency for subprime auto loans, and we're talking about a figure that is about 10% of all of those loans are at least 90 days or greater delinquent. What happens then if the Federal Reserve actually goes ahead and raises interest rates in 2018 three times and indeed even four times, as many economists say that they're going to do?
Well, this is we've read this book before, and we actually know how it ends. The Fed will always over-tighten into late cycle signs. And right now, we could possibly see a 4% handle coming on GDP. And it is going to be the biggest head fake. And the Fed is going to end up chasing that head fake and over-tightening if Powell is not astute to the fact that Stillwater's run deep. So underneath the biggest natural disaster year in how long? 2017? Of course building materials have gone through the roof. Of course there were two good years of car sales. All of this rebuilding effort has no precedent. You can't compare three hurricanes and two massive wildfires to Hurricane Katrina. It doesn't work. But that's the only thing in the Fed's models.
Just to push back a little bit, we're not seeing inflation pick up. We're not seeing some of the other signs of a late stage in the credit cycle. Investors, while they have flown into the riskiest assets, they have shown some discretion this year. You are seeing some potholes in credit markets, some losers amid the froth. So, you know, what are you looking at when somebody says to you, look, yes, all that understood, still in the scheme of things, consumer debt relative to GDP isn't necessarily at a record high. We aren't seeing the same kinds of default rates as you would leading up to a problem. What do you say to them?
I think that the Fed has left the PPI for dead at its peril. We saw that producer prices came out at a six-year high, and it was completely wholesale disregarded after the CPI came out by policymakers.
A lot of that was gasoline, right? I mean, the gas. I think about two-thirds of the jump in November were gasoline-related. It was up more than 15%.
But if you look at transportation, if you look
Correct.
At manufacturing, if you look at anything related to the supply chain disruption, which is unprecedented following these natural disasters, and you listen to every... You can look at 10 surveys. This is my upcoming Bloomberg View column. You can look at 10 regional manufacturing surveys, and all of the managers are complaining about the fact that their prices have gone through the roof. They're actually having to leverage up to cover them if they can't pass along these price increases, if they don't have pricing power. It's building in the pipeline. It exists.
So what do you think the Fed should do next year?
I think the Fed is in a very difficult place. I really do. I'm hoping that there are some eagle-eyed staffers who can look through this supply chain disruption, maybe hike in March, maybe, but they really do need to step back and study the household sector and figure out where inflation's really going to be after all of these natural disasters work their way through the data, because at the end of it, you will have millions of households who remain devastated by these natural disasters and don't have the wherewithal financially to rebuild and replace all of these assets. They will add on to the pre-existing defaults and delinquencies that we have seen already in the household sector before Hurricane Harvey made landfall.
Danielle DiMartino Booth, thank you so much. Always a pleasure speaking with you. She is founder of Money Strong, a Bloomberg prophet. Also, for 9 years, she was the aide, direct advisor to Fed President Fischer.